Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Fernandes, Lockwood, Mafazoli, the post semifinal edition of On the Grid podcast. You guys were neck of the woods, north and south last week. You, Scott, you were at the Ram game. Dennis, you were at the Indian game. Two tough semifinal losses. Why don't we recap what happened? Scott, sounds like you were up in the Jacksonville area. Mandarin a little too much for Riverview?
Yeah, they were. The speed they had on the outside with those receivers they had was something else. And that quarterback, that Carlson kid, I mean, he was dropping dimes on Riverview's defense, and he had 470 yards passing and four or five touchdowns. It was unreal, and you see why this kid might be starting for Alabama in a couple years. That's how good this kid was. And you know, Riverview made it interesting in the end. They overcame some turnovers. They recovered a couple of onside kicks, but just kind of ran out of gas. And, you know, heck of a season there for Smithers and crew. I think they finished, what was it, 10-4? No, 11-4 final record, but very good season for them. I mean, that's the farthest they've been in 14 years, and they got a lot to look forward to over there at Riverview.
Yeah, when I saw Riverview play this year, the good games, as with most teams, they didn't turn the ball over. Their opponents turned the ball over, and they capitalized. It sounds like against Mandarin, they could ill afford to have turnovers, and they did.
Well, one of them was deep in the red zone, and that, or the receiver or the tight end had a 13-yard catch and run, and at the end of it, he caught the ball up, and that was the turning point of the game. If Riverview scores there, it's a one-score game in the second quarter, and they still got a chance, but I think it was two plays after that, and they went down the field and scored again on one of those long passes. So, you know, it's just, because, like you say, they can't turn it over. Smithers said the same thing, and at the final four, you just can't do that, and that's what got them in the end.
Before we move over to Aquinas, I mean, they'll be losing several key players, obviously Allie Boyce being one of them. Did Smithers have a chance, probably not, to even address the future with this team? It looks like he's got a foundation in place.
He didn't really. Michael Hayes didn't play the other night for unspecified reasons, but there was a couple other kids that didn't play as well. I think he'll be back next year. And Sean White, young quarterback, he'll be back in another year better. And like they said, they've got a whole lot to look forward to over there at Riverview next year. And obviously, they got a chance to come back. If the Hayes and they find a running game again, I don't see why they couldn't be back there again at this time next year.
Yeah, I think they've established themselves as an area, if not power, a very good team. Dennis, you were down in Fort Lauderdale. We've all been down there in our storied careers for football games. It sounds like just a little too much for Aquinas, right?
Not the best Aquinas team, but certainly a typical Aquinas team. I mean, they had speed in the backfield. They had speed on the defensive ends. And, you know, they made things tough for Venice. I mean, Venice had chances early. They got the ball down in the red zone. They just kicked field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, you know, where Aquinas' defense just got a little tougher.
You know, we always talk about what a great environment that is, at least if you're a home team down there. What was the environment down there? Did Venice travel very well for this game?
Oh, yeah. Venice had a ton of people there. Aquinas said their stands were full. you know, the bands were there, and, you know, it was very festive.
When you think about high school football, those are sort of the settings you think about, right? Yep. Full houses on both sides, bands, excitement.
Yeah, even Riverview, they had three-fourths of the stands full on their side, and that's a 4.5-hour drive to where that stadium was from Riverview. So you had that. The entire Kilty band was there, and it was. You walk in the stadium and you had that big game feel, and that's something that that's been lacking through a lot of our games this year. But you can feel it there, and I'm sure you can feel the same thing down there at Aquinas.
Anytime you go to Aquinas, it's a big game feel. I don't care who's playing there.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably whatever, no matter the sport.
Well, especially when you're walking into that football stadium and you go right by that trophy room, and I think the teams have to go by it too.
Yeah, they go by the trophy room. They come out of the same tunnel that Venice was trapped in for about 5 minutes while the Aquinas people did their chants. And, yeah.
A little bit of intimidation.
Now,
you know, after the game, I saw it, I was just flipping online, and I saw a little report, lack of a handshake between, Harriet and Peacock. Explain that.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I saw the video just like everybody else did. Roger kind of blew him off and, you know, explained himself to saying, you know, Peacock's not good for the industry or whatever. So you would think that a winner would have better sportsmanship than that. But, you know, they are Aquinas. So.
Well, wait a minute. Has Peacock ever come out publicly and trashed that program or their recruiting or whatever they do down there?
He's mentioned it a few times.
Remember after the 2016 state semi, he's like, yeah, I think we need to hire a magician or something to go against these guys. And that was one of my favorite quotes ever from a football coach was that night. And, you know, the Aquinas, I saw a lot of things going on Twitter, too, and how people were criticizing the fans. And, you know, I was down there for the volleyball state final and saw the same thing. They were booing the team, like, hardcore. I mean, you usually don't see that real loud. But they were saying some things in the crowd that day, and I'm sure they were at the football game too. And they're not a favorite amongst fans from this area. I know that.
Wait, was that the match where Wheatley pulled them off the court?
No, that was.
Well, I'm talking about that. The fans were kind of aggressive.
Right. Oh, they were getting aggressive an hour before the game, and just and. So they were getting aggressive there, and of course their bench was right in front of the student section, and the students were literally coming in right behind the huddle, and the administration wasn't stopping it right away. So that's kind of why he did what he did that day.
I guess when you talk about the Aquinas package, maybe their fans, their zealous fans, are part of it.
Well, I think if you look in the gym and you got 40 some odd state championship banners in the rafters, that I think they've earned the right to talk a little bit, but it is what it is.
Well, wait a minute, I busted your chops. The day after the paper came out, because in the preview boxes, there was one pick on the Venice game. There was no pick on the Riverview game, and I thought you, being a Riverview alum, last week on the show here, you picked a Mandarin victory. I thought maybe you didn't want to put it in print, but obviously that was a editing technical sort of production problem.
That was
right?
A technical glitch, and I am I gotta say I topped the expert here by one game.
How the heck does a season of picks come down to one game between you?
Because
two?
Because this moron sitting in this chair that's talking right now couldn't pick a playoff game to save his life. But I was 5 or 6 games ahead going into the playoffs, and all at once the league was cut in half, then cut in half again, and we were tied going into the last game. I don't know how close it was last year with my predecessor here, but that was a little... I was starting to think about that walking up and down the sidelines at Venice the week before. I'm like, this can't be good. And, you know, luckily we held on and get a year's bragging rights because you got beat by a rookie here at the Herald Tribune.
Well, we both picked 80%, so I'm not going to, wallow in my sorrows here.
That is pretty good. Yeah.
You know what I'd like to see? It would take a lot of work. You know how you see some lines... It's the straight up line and the line against the spread.
Oh God!
Maybe we could use the Pinko, sort of his spread and make calls against the spread. I don't think your guys' records would be that good.
I thought when we pick final scores, I think that's hard enough. Yeah, if we're trying to pick a spread, take the over every time.
I mean, Pinko's is 80% too. So, but he had Lakeland a 7-point underdog last week. So
against the number 7 seed, I don't understand. I didn't understand that logic at all.
And speaking of which, for like the 7th or 8th time, Lakeland plays St. Thomas Aquinas for the state final. That's going to be, we haven't seen Lakeland play in quite a bit, but I would imagine that's going to be a full house, just a great, great
That's going to be one to watch on TV, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're not going to be going over there for anything, but that'll be one to watch on TV
You had your wrap-up article. You also tweeted out the final scores. Looking back on the football season, guys, did everything go according to form? We had our 2 or 3 dominant teams, good teams, a lot of other teams that struggled this year. Did it go according to...
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I don't think there were too many surprises. Bayshore early, but at the end, it was the cream that rose to the top. You know, St. Stephen's certainly represented themselves well. That might have been a surprise with all the guys they graduated last year, but Todd Crinetti put together a nice staff and got the kids playing again.
Say my first year here at the Herald Tribune covering football, I mean, it was quite the learning experience getting to know all these guys again and making the rounds. And like Dennis said, I mean, the teams that we all thought that were going to get in the playoffs did. I thought Booker getting there was, and the way they had the second half of the season was great. And, Palmetto making it like they did in the second round, I thought that would happen. And Venice Braden River, as always, I didn't see the first game. The first game was better than that second one was, but... it was a fun year, we can say that. I mean, saw a lot of bad football along the way, too, but, that happens at this level, and we're playoff games, at least the ones I covered with the Mooney playoff game, it went down to the final seconds, was great, and it was a good year, a lot of fun.
Paul Meckley, obviously, had they had a quarterback there the last few weeks of the season, there's no telling.
Had they had the fifth quarterback there.
The fifth quarterback, they needed to take the fifth there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a learning lesson, I guess, even for somebody who's been around that long.
Yeah, you hate to see a season that went as well as theirs just go up and smoke like it did in the first round because their injuries were so bad. And they still almost pulled that game out at the end. I mean, they had their chance and just kind of ran out of gas at the end of that night.
So with football over, guys, now we got to segue into the winter sports. You want to do a little quick little recap of maybe what we've seen so far, and maybe we'll see down the road?
I saw the Riverview basketball team without Malachi Wideman, right. Arguably their best player. They beat Venice by 40. I would say they're going to be one of the top teams. Charlotte, Port Charlotte have gotten off to a good start down south. Lakewood Ranch should be competitive. And Booker plays IMG tonight, the national team, and I'll be there. I'm interested to see that.
See, I've actually seen Venice's girls soccer team. I read a story about them last week. I stayed for a little bit of that game, and they're going to be a tough out for anybody this year. I mean, I saw somewhere they've outscored their opponents, I think, 44-6 on the year so far, and they're good. And I had a story about some of their players last week. Lakewood Ranch basketball, I was out there a couple weeks ago for their opener or training camp, talking to them a little bit. You know, with us doing all this football, we haven't seen, at least from my side, I haven't seen a lot of the winter stuff yet, so... We're going to be getting into that. We got some wrestling coming up, and you know, next week I'm going down to Charlotte to talk to some of the wrestlers, and they have a couple of state champs back, and it's going to be a interesting winter time here.
How soon before we get emails from either the football coaches or the ADs asking, when is your all-area team coming out?
Soon.
Soon.
Yeah.
So we'll be making the calls, and then we'll be getting the athletes here for the photos, and the same thing as we do every prep season, I would imagine. Anything else, guys? We've already gone, we're going on 12 minutes. Apparently last week we had 89 listeners, but they only stayed for the first 5 minutes.
Right.
So maybe we should just make the show 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we'll ensure they all listen for the entire show.
Right.
Anything else going forward? Oh, a couple of things, sort of prep related. I wrote about it today. Casey Kelly will be pitching in South Korea next season, getting $1 million. And I took a tour of the Braves' new ballpark down there. It's about 75% done. One thing they're going to have to do is expand the road to get in there because I was driving in and it's just a one-lane road.
Oh, boy.
And I'm thinking they're going to have to, but that's part of the plan. The infrastructure is in place. Now they got to do the side things. They're saying it could be one of the best stadiums in the area. I got to write something for tomorrow. How, I mean, is that going to be any better than what Ed Smith looks like, a renovated Ed Smith? Charlotte Park is a great atmosphere. McKechnie, it's like you walk back in time when you go into that stadium.
Right.
How can a new stadium in the middle of Northport be any better than our three in the area?
That's tough. I mean, I wasn't there to see that yesterday.
Right.
I mean, I've been all over the state. You know, Jack Russell up there, Russell Stadium up there in Clearwater is amazing. All sorts of good ones that are around the state. Even the one the Braves came from in Orlando was pretty good. But I'm looking forward to seeing it next spring. I'm sure we'll all be there on the 24th for that first game in one way or the other. But it's a long ways from now, and can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm interested to see it myself.
Yeah, I know teams like having all these opponents on the West Coast that hour and less bus ride.
And they're playing the Rays. I mean, that's a 15-minute bus ride from Charlotte Sports Park for them to get there in that first game.
It's amazing. There's no reason why we shouldn't be seeing some veterans in these games, right? Because it's not an hour, two-hour bus ride, right?
Yeah,
a lot of veterans don't like to take these bus rides, but it's a short one.
It might be a late spring training split squad game, too. You know how those work, but you never know.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Baseball is for the podcast down the road.
Yep.
Anything else, guys? We'll wrap it up after 13 minutes. What else? Wrestling? We haven't mentioned wrestling.
Well, they're just getting involved in it. I mean, they're just starting up. There's the Lemon Bay Duels this Saturday, and the one down in Charlotte next week.
So the singlets are being pulled from their boxes and locker rooms and off the hooks.
Captain Archer Memorial.
Captain Archer. You know in the middle of winter when you hear Captain Archer. All right, guys, we've gone long enough. For Scott Lockwood, Vanessa Mafazoli, I'm Doug Fernandez. We'll see you next week on the Herald Tribune podcast.
Out.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.